The Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart early last week. And I believe that this message that I want to share with you today is vital for the day and age that we are living. We're living in a time where there is what would be called a moral landslide. A moral landslide. Morals meaning how we live our lives, whether good or bad. But sadly, morals are going down. Things are being accepted as right, which are wrong. And so I want to share with you a message from the Word of the Lord today that I believe speaks concerning that important subject. I want us to begin reading in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18 and verse 28. And I want us to begin reading at verse 28. So again, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 28, and it says this. I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early, yet they themselves did not enter the praetorium, so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' And they answered him, 'If he were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over to you.' Then Pilate said, 'Take him and judge him according to your law.' And the Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death,' that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he would die. Again, Pilate entered the praetorium, called Jesus, and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking of your own accord, or did others tell you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?' And Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Therefore Pilate said to him, 'Then are you a king?' And Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" And verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And I want us to read verse 37 and the beginning of 38 one more time. He said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into this world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on the voice of truth. The voice of truth. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to relay your word to this, your people, in a way that it would be understood. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, something that describes our day. I want you just to give me your good ear. It says this. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, slanderers, unrestrained, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." He said, "Turn away from such people." The Apostle Paul was describing a very interesting day. And to be honest with you, if you were Timothy hearing those words from Paul, I'm sure that you would begin to relate it to the very time that Paul was talking about. He would, of course, try to relate it to the time that Timothy was then alive. Now, there is no doubt that during the time of the Romans, and the fact that Rome was over Israel during this time, that many ungodly practices were all around the children of Israel. There is no doubt that Christians have always found themselves as sheep among wolves. that we are living in a dark world, and because we are living in a dark world, there is a lot of darkness around us. The Bible says that our Father above is light, and that in Him is only light, and that those that are in darkness don't want to come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. But God has called you and me to be lights in a dark world. And we're living in a time when, to be honest with you, evil is called good, and good is called evil. And as we look throughout time and throughout history, we have seen seasons in the earth when wickedness begins to seemingly triumph. But then the church begins to lay hold on God, and all of a sudden there's a turnaround. Even just in not the too recent past, when the age known as the Great Awakening, the reality of the Industrial Revolution had hit hard and people were advancing and things were beginning to commence, but wickedness was also increasing. Even living lives of licentiousness and wickedness was on the increase. But then God began to move within His church. And then came out of the result of the Renaissance period, a time known as the Great Awakening period, because God is not sitting on the sidelines watching wickedness increase, and He's waiting for a people to stand for truth. Amen. Our generation needs a people who will stand for truth, but sad to say, we are living in what is called a postmodern time. If you've heard that terminology, you understand that what that means is that outside of the modern world, we have moved beyond modernism into a time called the postmodern era. And postmodernism has brought into the human race, into the thinking mind of today, a mentality where there is no such thing as truth. There is a mentality invading the minds of our young people today that there are no moral absolutes, that truth is, there is no absolute truth. Everything is relevant. And the mentality of postmodernism is the reality that there are no absolutes and that everything is only objective. Your truth is your truth, mine is mine, but there are no absolute truths. What are you talking about, Pastor James? Well, absolute truth is truth that will never change. Absolute truth is truth that will always be true. Relative truth, relativism, or the mentality of postmodernism brings out the mentality that there is only relative truth and no absolute truths. And this postmodern era is bringing you and me into a mentality that anything can go. That there are no moral absolutes. There is no absolute truth. And because that is the case, then anything can go. And if anything can go, you can do anything that you want to do. That means that you're not accountable to anyone. You don't have to answer to anyone. Because anything is allowed. You see, that is what relativism is portraying through this postmodern mentality to our young people, to the masses today. Here in the San Luis Valley, believe it or not, we are kind of secluded in a way. We don't live in the big city where moral relativism is rampant all around. However, moral relativism is being brought into our homes through the television set, through radio, and through the internet. And that mentality that is literally invading the minds and hearts of humanity today is creeping into our Christians' homes as well. Sadly, we're living in a time, as Dr. James Dobson brought out. I want to read something here that he stated. He said, in a survey taken in early 1991, now that's a long time ago already. We're living in 2017, almost 2018. A lot has changed from that time. But listen to what he says. In a survey taken in early 1991, interviewees were asked, do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with the following statement? There is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. Only 28% of the respondents expressed strong belief in absolute truth. Now picture that. Of all of those interviewed and asked, do you believe in absolute truth? Or do you believe that truth can be different from person to person? Only 28% said they believe in absolute truth. And more surprisingly, only 23% of born-again or evangelical Christians accepted this idea. He says this, what a telling revelation. If more than 75% of the followers of Christ say nothing can be known for certain, does this indicate, as it seems, that they are not convinced that Jesus existed? That he is who he claimed to be? That his word is authentic? That God created the heavens and the earth? Or that eternal life awaits the believer? That's what the findings appear to mean. If there is no absolute truth, then by definition, nothing can be said to be absolutely true. To the majority, apparently, it's all relative. Nothing is certain. Might be, might not be. Who knows for sure? Take your guess and hope for the best. This is the mentality that is permeating the world today. Because if there are no absolute truths, if there isn't absolute truth, that means that you're not accountable to anyone about anything because it's all relative. Relative truth, or relativism, is an interesting concept as well. It is this. It's the position that all points of view are equally valid and that all truth is relative to the individual. This means, listen to this, that all moral positions, all religious systems, all art forms, all political movements are truths that are relative to the individual. Relativism, to be honest with you, has opened the floodgates of wickedness in the world today. You see, even the person that is atheistic in their belief, that deems you and me as human beings as just another animal in the animal kingdom, takes away all accountability to a supreme lawgiver, takes away accountability to a creator, because we just exist, we just happen by happenstance, so therefore we're not accountable to anybody. So relativism actually finds a common ground with the atheistic mentality permeating the world today as well. But I'm here to ask the question, is there absolute truth? Are we accountable to someone or some being in the universe today? And I'm here to say yes. Pontius Pilate that day asked Jesus, are you a king? And he said, of course I am. He maybe didn't say it in that way. But he said this, you say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. I want you to say truth. And he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who knows that God exists, and to be honest with you, believes that there is absolute truth, will hear the voice of God. You see, to deny the reality of absolute truth is to deny your very conscience. Every one of us were born into the world with a knowledge inside of us that there is right and wrong. Before your parent told you that is wrong, you knew it was wrong. Amen. If it was our grandmother saying, don't take the cookie from the cookie jar, and we still took it anyways, we felt convicted about it, didn't we? Even though we tried to eat it, we felt awful inside because we disobeyed grandmother. Amen? And there wasn't even a statement that stealing is a sin. There was something in us, a moral compass, that said there is a right and there is a wrong. And to be honest with you, this is one of the signs and one of the realities that you and I were created in the image of God. There is a knowledge in you and in me of right and wrong. That means that there is a right and there is a wrong. And what that brings out, that there are moral absolutes. What are you talking about, Pastor James? There's even universal truth. When someone gets a gun and murders someone in cold blood, it's not only the Christian that says that is wrong. Even Vladimir Putin said it was horrible what happened in Las Vegas. And he comes from an atheistic mind. Where does right and wrong come from? And is there absolute truth? Well, yes. And I'm here to tell you that absolute truth is not only just a concept. It's not a mentality. It's not just right and wrong. When Pontius Pilate said in response to Jesus' statement that he bears witness to the truth, he said, "What is truth?" Little did he know that truth personified was standing next to him. Jesus said in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And if we want to know truth and we want to understand absolute truth, we will begin to be brought into an understanding of who God is in truth, and we will begin to know what is right and what is wrong because of who God is. Amen. God will never contradict himself. God will always stand true. But I'm here to tell you that truth has a voice. And the Bible said there in chapter 18 and verse 37, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." God is speaking. And God wants to speak to you. And I want you to turn, if you don't mind, in the Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll be staying here for the most part. You see, there is the study known as philosophy. The philosopher is on a quest to know truth, to be honest with you. The word philosophy itself means the love or pursuit of wisdom or knowledge. Philo meaning loving, sophia meaning knowledge, loving knowledge. But when you think about the philosopher who is on the quest for truth, you think about the philosophers of the days gone by. I don't care if it's Socrates or Plato or whoever. In their quest for truth, they would only come to a point because understanding truth from creation itself by itself leaves you without the answer, because it takes you ultimately to the one who created everything. Amen? It will ultimately bring you to truth himself, Jesus Christ. But in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I want you to hear Jesus in this parable. He says, "Truly, truly," chapter 10 verse 1, "I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice." I want you to say, "hear his voice." "He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he brings his own, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." In your and my quest for truth, we must understand that our quest for truth is not just a philosophic quest. It's not just a program of study. But our seeking after truth boils down to knowing Jesus Christ for ourselves personally and intimately. And the more that you know Jesus, and the more that you will seek him with all of your heart, the more in tune to your shepherd, the good shepherd you become, you will know his voice above all other voices. And Jesus says here very clearly that not only do the sheep know Him, He knows His sheep. And the Scripture says that He leads them out and they follow because they know His voice. And you see, in this day and age that we're living in, you're going to hear many voices all around you. You're hearing my voice right now, and you need to discern, is that preacher preaching, speaking with the very voice of God? Are we discerning the voices that we're hearing? What are we watching on television, and what's it telling me? What is it telling my family? What is it saying about right and wrong? You see, this world is speaking constantly. Satan is speaking. False prophets are speaking. But I'm here to tell you there is a voice that is speaking, and His name is Jesus. But do you know Him? Because when you know Jesus and you know Him with all of your heart, you're going to discern His voice above all others. And when you hear that voice of a stranger, you will not follow. Instead, you will run away. When this world is telling you that it's okay to cohabit, this world is saying it's okay for an unmarried woman to be living with an unmarried man in their house, together, not being married, engaging in premarital sex, and the television set is saying it's all okay, I'm here to tell you that that is not the voice of the shepherd. It is the voice of this world. It is the voice of relativism, and it is going against absolute truth. But if you love God and you love Him with all of your heart and you're standing on those absolute truths, you're going to discern the voice of this world trying to corrupt your mind to say that all of this stuff that is being allowed in our world today is okay. And you will run away from those voices. You will turn off those television sets or those programs anyways. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're living in a world that is so confused. It is so confused. There is no right, no wrong anymore, it seems. But your knowledge of right and wrong isn't going to just be what Pastor James is saying on a Sunday morning. No. Pastor James is only going to confirm what you are seeking out and seeking God with all of your heart. And what is spoken in truth will confirm the truth of God in you already. That said, yes, there is a right and there is a wrong. Charles Lindbergh said this: in my youth, science was more important to me than either man or God. I worship science. Its advance had surpassed man's wildest dreams. It took many years for me to discover that science, with all its brilliance, lights only a middle chapter of creation. I saw the aircraft I love. Now listen to this. This is one of the creators of one of the aircrafts. I saw the aircraft I love destroying the civilization I expected it to save. Now I understand that spiritual truth is more essential to a nation than the mortar in its city's walls. For when the actions of a people are undergirded by spiritual truths, there is safety. When spiritual truths are rejected, it is only a matter of time before civilization will collapse. We must understand spiritual truths and apply them to our modern life. We must draw strength from the almost forgotten virtues of simplicity, humility, contemplation, and prayer. It requires a dedication beyond science, beyond self. But the rewards are great, and it is our only hope. We must understand that God has brought to you and me an understanding of moral absolutes, of absolute truth. But we're living in a day, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, when there is more and more of a turning away from the absolute truth of God into moral relativism and anything goes. And that is not doing any good for our society. To be honest with you, it is going to bring it down. But by the grace of God and by His church standing up for truth once again. Truth has a voice. Truth has a voice, and I'm here to tell you that truth is a person. It is Jesus Christ Himself. In John 16, verses 12 through 14, you don't have to turn there, but let me read it. It says, I have yet many things to tell you. This is what Jesus said before He was taken and died on the cross and left in the ascension. I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but He will speak of whatever He hears, and He will tell you things that are to come. He will glorify Me, so on and so forth. God's Holy Spirit will begin to lead and guide you to all truth. And if you and me will be faithful to seek the face of God, God will lead us to truth. Amen? He speaks. He speaks. There are times when we are at a particular place and we are confronted with a decision, yes or no, right or wrong. And I'm here to tell you that God will speak through absolute truth. Amen? You see, the word for conscience in the definition that brings up that word, the etymology of the word, that word conscience that we all have, that knowledge of right and wrong, means that we are with knowledge, that there is a knowing of right and wrong. And when you read the Word of God confirms that knowledge of right and wrong within us, that we begin to say, yes, that is true. Amen. And because there is right and wrong, and because the Word of God brings forth the truth, the absolute truth of God's Word, not only is it just because it's in the Bible, but the absolute truths in the Word are confirmed even by any morals anywhere on the face of the earth. Do you hear that? The Hindu will say there is right and wrong, and they'll say to murder someone is a sin, because that's a universal truth. Amen. God wants to speak truth to you and me, and our generation needs a people that are going to stand for the truth. We must be a people of God's Word, because as we are in His Word, we begin to learn and know the truth of God. And as we are intimate with Jesus Christ Himself, the very person of truth, if you can say that, we will begin to discern many things that we are seeing in our world today. You see, what I'm saying today may kind of clash with what we're raised with. Listen to what I'm saying, and with this I'll close. We're raised in this world. Everybody's doing these things. Everybody's watching those television shows. We're raised watching them. I'm not just talking about television. We're hearing the same things. We're being taught the same things in our public school system. We're hearing a lot of things together, and we're being raised to believe that those things, whatever they may say, is true. Isn't that right? But how do we discern what is God's truth and what moral absolutes are, what is absolute truth, but that we get in tune with God Himself to discern what is really true from the false? Amen? Like I said before, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but there are some people that will say that adult men that find some kind of liking towards children in regards to finding some kind of satisfaction in young children, forget the word, what's that word? Pedophile. And there is a movement today that would try to say these men are born that way and that it's actually legit. Are you serious, Pastor James? Yes. I mean, there's people today that say a man that thinks he's a woman is correct. We're living in a time when the homosexual agenda is permeating the television airwaves, and it would seem like everyone is a homosexual, and yet it's only a small percentage. But they're permeating in the school. They're permeating it in the airwaves. They're telling us that this is legitimate. It's civil rights. We've got to give them the same kind of rights as someone with black skin or white skin. No, it's foolishness. What is truth? I was listening to a preacher say, and with this one I'll really close. Dr. Michael Brown said this. He wrote a book called Revolution. I'd encourage you to get it. I'm reading it right now. But he was saying it's interesting that in the school system you can have a math teacher come out and say in the middle of class, you know what, I've been having these thoughts, I'm a homosexual, I've actually come out of the closet and I'm okay with this. He's okay to talk about his homosexuality in a math class. But if on the other hand, another math teacher came out and said, I'm a born-again Christian, I love God and He's changed my life, that person that talks about God can lose his job. What kind of world are we living in? We must be able to stand for truth. And I'm going to tell you this, that when we get serious about standing for God in truth, there will be a price and there may be a time when we will have to stand true even in the face of persecution, because believe it or not, what you stand for as a Christian is contrary to the mentality of the world out there. And we've got to be ready to stand for the truth no matter what. Amen? God will give you the grace and the backbone, but our generation needs to hear the voice of truth. And I believe that God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to raise up a people that is going to stand for the truth. Amen? It's amazing when you read about the early church, how that they stood for Jesus even in the midst of horrible persecutions, because for them, Jesus was the ultimate truth. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to say a prayer together. And we're going to pray that the Lord will give us a greater understanding of His truth in our own hearts and our own lives personally.